Coming Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 10 in the morning Central Time on November 14th through 10 in the morning Central Time on November 15th. This year's theme, Myths About Lutheranism. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
It's not a question that we often ask, that civilians often ask today in American culture. It's almost assumed that everybody who goes and fights, especially those who fight and die, by virtue just of kind of the action of serving their country or giving their lives for their country, will reap their eternal reward, we think, maybe go to heaven, something like that. Very different than perhaps how the soldiers themselves think about it, because the conscience is severely tested in warfare. Even if the war is clear-cut, simple, just, all of those things, the conscience is still severely tempted for all who participate, especially those who fight. But back in the 16th century, the question of whether or not a soldier can be saved, especially with the revelation of the gospel that had been rediscovered there in the 16th century by Martin Luther and others, was a pressing question. Why is that? And Luther wrote on it. He wrote something called Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved. And we're going to talk about that work on this Veterans Day, November the 11th. Dr. Holger Sontag joins us. He's translator of the book Christians Can Be Soldiers. Dr. Sontag, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is not a question that kind of American civilians ask or even entertain very much about the salvation of soldiers. We simply assume it rightly or wrongly. What is it about the context of Luther's day that he feels the need to answer this question, whether soldiers too can be saved?
Well, I think you already put it quite well in your introduction. I mean, with the rediscovery of the Bible, basically in the language of the people, more people had the opportunity to read it. And they read, obviously, also the Sermon on the Mount, where you can find passages like, Christians should turn the other cheek. Obviously, even in the Ten Commandments, it said we should not kill. And, being in the vocation of a soldier, obviously that is, at least for some soldiers, that is part of their job, to kill the enemy and to conquer territory, not to turn the other cheek. And so as people were reading that and reflecting on that, they were thinking, wow, I mean, we should really not only not be soldiers, but we should also not engage in any dealings of this sort in the world. I mean, we should not be rulers. We should not engage in judging other people, because didn't Christ say, judge not, you know? And so they were reading that in a very straightforward manner, one could say, and say, well, since Christ says it, you know, we can't do it. And that caused, obviously, a lot of trouble for people at the time.
So we're talking there in a lot of ways about the more radical reformers, not Luther's
Precisely,
branch of the Reformation,
yes.
But the radical
yes.
reformers who said, in essence, Christians have to adopt a quietistic view, which, and they would have said the Bible forbids military participation. Is that, would they go so far as to say that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they would go so far, and as I said, I mean, they would not really recognize the government, or certainly not think it possible for a Christian to be a king or a prince or possibly even a mayor. Certainly not a judge when you think of death sentences that a judge might have to mete out. And they would say, no, I mean, that does just not square with turning the other cheek and, you know, all these other things that Christ lays out there in the Sermon on the Mount, for example.
Now, what is different about Luther's approach, both to the scriptures and to that question, wherein he can write this piece, Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved?
Yes, I mean, Luther obviously also believes in the Sermon on the Mount, and he also says, well, clearly, this is Christ's teaching. We cannot set this aside. However, as he knows, and as we as Lutherans know, and specifically, much in theology depends on good distinctions. And the critical distinction here, in this case, is that between us as Christians and us as citizens of the world, in a sense. And that means as Christians, Christ addresses us in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, you should not swear, you should turn the other cheek, you should not judge. And that is, here we talk about the Christian as a person, as he has no office in the world, just as an individual, if you will. However, when we talk about us as citizens of the world, so to speak, then all of us have offices, have been given offices, offices of service to our neighbor. We could also say as a Christian, we just basically relate to God. We are members of the church. We are governed by the gospel, by God's word. But as citizens of the world, we are citizens, in our case, obviously, citizens of America. But we are also parents. We are children. We are judges. We have all sorts of offices where we are called to exercise authority, if you will, or to exercise obedience, obviously, depending on what our vocation might be. So, in other words, people might say, well, you know, I don't want to be a judge because, you know, I might have to, speak a death sentence, or I might certainly not want to be an executioner because I might have to kill somebody. But a more a question that hits closer to home certainly is that, well, what about do you want to be a parent? Where you, you know, certainly are not to be the footmat of your children, but where you are to raise your children, and where you, according to the fourth commandment in a very concrete way, represent God's authority for your children, namely the authority, obviously, to raise them, you know, in the fear and love of God.
So Luther begins with the distinction, as he says, between the work and the doer of the work, between the man who, as you began here just a moment ago, the man who holds the office and the office itself. Why is that distinction so important?
It is so important because, you know, as we as Lutherans believe, you know, the work needs a good doer to be good. In other words, first by faith, in our heart, do we become good? We become righteous because by faith we grasp Christ, Christ who obviously died for our sins on the cross, and so all his righteousness becomes then ours by faith. So we are justified. We become good trees, to speak in the biblical metaphor here. And good trees will become those trees and are those trees that bring forth good fruit. And that's where we then talk about all the works that we have been given to do in our vocation. And one of those works could also be the work of a soldier. And Luther, when he talks about the work that we have been given in his book here on soldiers, also distinguishes between the work itself, as it is commanded and commended by God, and the execution of that work. So in other words, any task that we are given in our vocations can be executed either well or not well. In other words, we can either use the office that we've been given for good, we can do the right thing, we can execute our office in the right way, or we can use it just for personal gain and for personal enrichment. And that's where he always, where Luther always points to the soldiers coming to John the Baptist in Luke 3, where Luther always points out, look, I mean, John does not tell them, throw away your weapons, stop being soldiers, just emigrate into the desert and leave all that nasty bloodshedding behind. No, John simply tells them, be content with your wages and do not commit injustice. So execute the work that God has given you in your vocation, execute it correctly, execute it rightly, according to God's will. So there, again, we see the importance of distinctions that need to be made so that people are not confused by God's word and totally withdraw from the world and just basically let it go to hell in a handbasket.
Luther talks about war itself, and he says people are right when they judge it to be a great plague, but yes. He says it's a plague that prevents worse plague. What's he talking about?
Yes, I mean, obviously, given that man has fallen, given that man looks after what he can get from his neighbor, what would be the alternative if we did away with all war? I mean, as you know, and as some of your listeners will know, in 1948, the World Council of Churches came up with a resolution saying that war, according to God's will, should not exist. And there are many today in the Protestant churches around the world who have basically embraced that and have become pacifists, even among Lutherans, that is, those who say that no war can ever be justified. But with Luther, you really have to ask yourself, if we really take seriously that man is fallen, that man wants to have the stuff that belongs to his neighbor because he is sinful by nature in one way or another, then we have to ask, indeed, what is the alternative if we all of a sudden just outlawed war and made peace the law of the land? What would happen? And what would happen is that the strong would very easily prevail over the weak, and it would be just a constant warfare. And that's what Luther says. I mean, it's better to have war that is limited in time and in space than to have a war that, at the end of the day, would consume the entire world and not leave anything intact, and that would kill many more people. That would basically be the end of peace and prosperity on this world.
When he takes up the subject of, it's kind of a Romans chapter 13 argument where he says, look, if we admit that war is wrong in itself, then we would have to extend that and say that any use of the sword, that would be, keeping of the peace domestically, would also have to be wrong. And it would mean that God himself is wrong to have instituted the sword for the keeping of the peace.
Yeah, and that is really a critical point that you're making there, and that Luther obviously made. And that is, he says, well, war, the war that is legitimately waged, that is not just some thing that somehow evolved in world history, and that's just very deplorable that it did, and we would be better off if it hadn't. He says, no, legitimate warfare has actually been instituted by God, just like legitimate authority, political authority, has been instituted by God. And at the end of the day, we can point back again to the fourth commandment, where, you know, those who have authority on earth, and that is obviously the parents, first of all, but then also those who have been in our country elected to those high government offices, they represent God, and they are called to represent him well. Obviously, we come back to, you know, distinguishing the work that can be done well and not well. So there is a very important point to make, that war is not just some deplorable thing, but the good war, so to speak, the just war, in which Christians can in good conscience engage, that is really a gift from God, just like the exercise of justice here in our own country. When we think of police, when we think of courts of law, that all is a great gift from God. But that gift, again, makes only sense if we believe what Scripture says about fallen human nature. If man is basically good, and there's really no reason to worry about what man can do to man in a bad way, then all these things would really be superfluous, and God would have just either made a good joke or just wasted a lot of time and energy on maintaining and establishing these things in the first place.
Dr. Holger Sontag is our guest on this Tuesday, November the 11th, Veterans Day. We're talking about Martin Luther's famous work, Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved. 10 more minutes with him right after this.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana, Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, November the 11th, Veterans Day, we're talking about 16th century reformer Martin Luther's work, Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved. Dr. Holger Sontag is our guest. He's translated the book Christians Can Be Soldiers. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Sontag, Luther doesn't go into an extensive, detailed argument about just war or unjust war, but you used a phrase before the break, a legitimate war, which Luther asserts quite strongly does exist and can exist, and it's not just a theory. A lot of people, like you said before the break, will allow that legitimate war is theoretically possible but practically impossible. Luther doesn't share that opinion, does he?
No, he does not, because obviously he was giving advice to flesh and blood soldiers, and he couldn't just say, well, yeah, it's a nice theory, but as we all know in practice, it's all riddled by human sin and we can't really know anything, so good luck. He doesn't say that at all. I mean, he again, obviously, as the reformer he is, he looks to God's word. And there he finds that the sword God has given not to randomly kill people, but to defend the good and to defend the innocent. And war as a collective effort of a nation fits right in there. In other words, he's a strong advocate of those who say that if a war is waged as a war of defense, then it is justified. But if it is waged just because I don't like the other country, or I want their treasure, or I want their territory, then Luther says, then you are not just fighting against that other country. You are actually also fighting against God, because in Psalm 68, God says that he will resist those who delight in war, and that is those who choose war when there is still a possibility for peace and to come to an agreement with among potential enemy combatants.
He takes up the subject of kind of rebellion against authority as a form of war. He was familiar with that, of course, in the Peasants' Revolt. Had some very strong things to say about the peasants who had revolted. How would you summarize Luther's thought about kind of war that, as he would say, a form of war in which the inferior makes war against the superior?
Yes, I mean, he was against that because it spoke, it was basically a sin against the fourth commandment. Just as Luther brings up that example, just as we as parents would not really condone our children rising up against us, so we should also think about subjects taking arms against their government, even if the government is perhaps not the greatest in the world. But Luther says, well, the life of the Christian is sometimes lived under the cross, and because everything really in this world is also marked by sin, the government and our parents, as we know from our own experience, they're really not an exception. They're not always great. They're not always doing what we want them to do. Sometimes they do the opposite, or they don't do much and don't seem to deserve on that basis much respect. But as Luther already points out in the Large Catechism, God's word, that is the fourth commandment here specifically, is kind of like an adornment, a crown that God puts on the heads of all those who have his office, regardless of whether they are kings or not. But even parents have this word of God on their heads, have it around their necks as a golden chain, so that we would respect them and really appreciate them as gifts from God that he has given us for a good purpose. And even if they don't always, do what God wants them to do, they're still in that office, and we should not, lightly cast them aside because they don't seem to be doing what we wish them to do.
Luther draws some examples from Holy Scripture of where war is waged. How would you describe or how would you summarize what he has to say there?
Well, that's an important point, again, where Luther uses these examples of, obviously, King David waging many wars to point out, look, I mean, we believe that David also believed in Christ, the coming and the promised Redeemer. So clearly, in a sense, he was also a Christian already. And here we see in the Old Testament that he not only waged war, but that he also was a king. And so those people who would have us believe today and in the 16th century that we as Christians should not have anything to do with the administration of worldly justice in this way are clearly mistaken, because there we see many examples, Abraham, David, even prophets, engaged in this business of leading God's people of the Old Testament, which also was a political reality, into war. So there again we see Luther's argument that Christians can be soldiers is really broad-based and not just, one little verse somewhere in the New Testament.
Luther is quick to caution the soldier and those who make war that just because their cause is just or because they're compelled to fight is no guarantee from God that they will live. Why does he talk about that?
That the cause is just is no automatic guarantee for victory, because in all things we should ask for God's blessing and for God's granting success to our endeavors. That is true for any business endeavor that we might engage in. That is true for raising the children in the house. In all things, as the hymn says, we depend on God's grace and his constant blessing. That is just one of the refrains in Luther's theology that he draws very heavily, for example, on Psalm 127. If the Lord doesn't build the house, those who build it in vain. That is one of those great scripture passages where Luther says, look, I mean, it doesn't mean that we should be lazy. It doesn't mean that God will do the work for us. However, when it comes to the succeeding of that work, when it comes to the successful execution of that work, we should not look to the rightness of the cause. We should not look to the rightness of the work. We should still look for God's mercy, for God's blessing, that it would all be carried out well and succeed and not go wrong. And, you know, as soldiers know, and as Luther also talks about in this book, the smallest oversight, the smallest indiscretion can have a major impact on the outcome of a battle and possibly also on the outcome of an entire war.
With about a minute because I got two final questions for you. With about a minute, is there any circumstance in which Luther says the Christian ought not to go to war, ought to refuse?
Yes, and that is very important to highlight. Luther was not a hawk, kind of, okay, whatever the government says is good. If the Christian is certain that the government is waging an unjust war, that is, a war that's not there to defend the citizens of one's country, then the Christian must not go to war. And he's very clear about that, that in those cases, according to Acts 5, we must obey God more than men. So that is very important. So Luther is not the blind advocate of the princes. He has very clear criteria here in this book to show Christians, look, I mean, yes, if the war is just, go ahead. But if it's not just, do not go. You must not go, even if it means prison or even death for you.
Finally, could you read, there's a prayer that he includes at the end of this work, whether soldiers too can be saved. Could you read that prayer from Martin Luther for us?
Yes, certainly. Okay, here it goes. Heavenly Father, I am here according to your divine will in this external work and service to my government. I owe it first to you and then to the government for your sake. I thank you for your grace and mercy that you have placed me in such work where I am certain that it is not sin, but right and in pleasing obedience to your will. Yet because I know and have learned from your grace-filled word that not one of our good works may help us, and no one can be saved as a soldier, but only as a Christian, I do not at all want to rely on my obedience and work. Rather, I want to work and obey freely to serve your will. And I believe wholeheartedly that I am redeemed and saved only by the innocent blood of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, which you obediently shed for me according to your gracious will. On this I stand, on this I live and die, on this I fight and do everything. Dear Father, keep and strengthen me in this faith by your Spirit. Amen.
Dr. Holger Sontag is translator of the book Christians Can Be Soldiers. Dr. Sontag, thank you very much for being our guest on this Veterans Day.
You're welcome, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to spend some time with Pastor Peter Bender talking about Lutheran schools, why churches have schools. Is it simply evangelism, or is it also education, or how do we sort those two out? That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Folks, please contribute to Issues, Etc. 24. It's our live 24-hour broadcast. It's coming up this Friday and Saturday by answering this question, Issues, Etc., what does this mean? You give us a call at the Issues Etc. comment line anytime between now and Friday morning before the beginning of Issues Etc. 24, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, any time of day or night, and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Everyone who calls that number will get a copy of A Simple Way to Pray by Martin Luther, translated by Pastor Matt Harrison and signed by Pastor Harrison. And the best comment there will get two Concordia commentaries, one on Romans and the other on Galatians. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. is up in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.